If one thinks about vinyls, then one has in mind like these typical black discs, like with a funny label maybe on it, with a cover, and that's nearly it, doing funny music. But normally vinyls are not made out of strange material, like showing bones and heads and whatever. Except the vinyls Stephen is working with, and Stephen is here with me in the studio. Hi, Stephen.
Hi.
You're from the X-Ray Audio Project, and you're working with strange-looking vinyls. They're former X-Ray plates. What a strange idea is that?
Okay, so we've got to go back in time. These came from a very particular time in a very particular place, which is the Soviet Union, just after the Second World War. And a lot of music is forbidden by the state. It's censored. So for people to listen to, young people to listen to the music that they wanted to, Western music, for instance, jazz and rock and roll, but also a lot of Russian music that had become forbidden, there was no way to do that. That music was not on record anymore. So bootleggers, as we would call them, came up with a very clever way of making their own records, but they hadn't got access to the usual recording technology because it's all controlled by the government. But they used a technique whereby you can write the grooves of a gramophone record onto a piece of X-ray film. Now, the fact that it's an X-ray, in a way, doesn't matter. What it is a piece of plastic. And actually, you can write the grooves of music onto many types of plastic. The reason that they used X-rays in the Soviet Union in the Cold War is that the government had told all hospitals that they had to destroy their X-rays after 1 year because they were flammable. They were dangerous. They could cause a fire. So you've got a situation where the hospitals have got to get rid of all this stuff, and these guys have worked out that you can use this stuff to make records with. So a trade grew up, and as a result, a culture grew up of bootleg forbidden music cut onto the used X-rays of Soviet citizens.
So you don't look that old, so what brought you into the old game? Like, how did you get the idea of, oh, there could be former Russian Second World War X-ray plates, let's work with it? What was the, like, first touch of all that?
Okay, so I'm a musician. I'm from the UK, from London. I've got a band called The Real Tuesday World. I've been touring for years. I've been touring Russia for years. And about 4 years ago, I was playing a show in St. Petersburg, and afterwards we went in the flea market, just the usual touristy buying souvenirs. And I came across a stall, there's lots of strange things on it, and there was something there, and I thought, is that a record or is that an X-ray? And I asked my young Russian friends about it, and they didn't know what it was. The guy whose stall it was very dismissive. He's almost like, take it, you know, whatever. He wanted to sell me a fur hat or something. But I brought it back to London, and it was a record. In fact, if you played it at 78 RPM, it was Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley. So I was very intrigued, and I started to do a bit of research. There was a little bit of stuff about this thing on the internet, but not very much. And so next time I went back to Russia, I started to dig. And 4 years later, I'm sitting here in Berlin talking to you about a whole culture that happened for about 20 years in the Soviet Union. And we found out as much as there is to find out for now, mainly by interviewing people, old people, some things in the Soviet archives, and a bit of guesswork and finding the records themselves and playing them and listening to what's on them. And we've got this thing called the X-Ray Audio Project. We've got a book and a film and a traveling exhibition. And we do live events, and that's why I'm here in Berlin.
Talking about what's on the records, I mean, you just mentioned one track, and it was really famous so far, so back in that time. But is it just only famous music, or is it like also some artsy-fartsy stuff on it? What is on the records?
Well, it is mainly music that was popular or famous for Russian people. So Western music that we would recognize, things like Rock Around the Clock, rock and roll records, jazz records, swing, that sort of stuff. But also the Russian music that's on there, we probably wouldn't recognize. And we wouldn't even know why it's forbidden, because you can understand why they forbade American, British music, because it's the Cold War, okay? But why would you ban Pyotr Leshchenko singing a tango about love and roses? It doesn't make any sense to us. But the reason is that Pyotr Leshchenko was a Russian Ukrainian who lived in the West. So he became defined as a traitor. He didn't come back to the Soviet Union. So his whole repertoire became forbidden. And now, of course, he'd been an incredibly popular singer before the war. He was like a pop star. So people loved his music and they wanted to listen to it. So that's the sort of song that would appear on these records. Did artsy-fartsy stuff appear? Well, you get stuff which was cut from the radio. So, and sometimes it's a bit more interesting and sometimes it's maybe a little bit more obscure. The other thing is that in the Soviet Union, there was no way that you could record your own songs if you were a singer-songwriter. So you do get people recording their own music onto these records, which is more interesting. But don't forget, you've only got 3 minutes on each side. The sound quality is pretty bad. So you're not going to get very complicated classical pieces on there, or, you know, Schoenberg or sort of avant-garde stuff on there, because by the time you've got through the introduction, you've run out of space, you know. So they tended to go for the short, sharp pop tune.
How big is your collection so far?
Well, so my personal collection of records is about 45, but in the book and in the archive that we're building are the images. So we photograph them whenever we come across them, if other people have got them, in Russia mainly. So we're building a collection of images and sounds. So we've got, you know, a couple of hundred of those now. Because every single one is different. This is the important thing. Unlike a record, every single one of these X-ray discs looks and sounds different than all the others, even if it's the same song.
So what's the normal workflow? Like, if people have something like this records at home, or maybe just one, is it like they have to record it, digitalize it, and send it over to you? Or are you going to these people's place? How did you get in contact? You just find them on flea markets, or are you just like emailing them? Or what's the workflow?
We found a few in flea markets. And then, of course, when you start to ask, it's just like a network thing. People will find out there's these English guys, they're interested in this. And then, you know, somebody says, you should speak to this old guy. You know, we were with last week in Moscow, we were with an 80-year-old guy who was a bootlegger, who did this stuff. So it's like that, you know, we get connected up. People have been sending us images and sounds as well. And then whenever we can, we record them ourselves. So it's a bit of both, yeah.
Okay. When you finish, like, I guess there won't be a finish line, but if you just, like, have the exhibition and the book and everything, are you going on kind of a world tour with all that stuff, or is it just like then located in England, or what is the plan?
Well, my day job is a musician. I'm not supposed to be even doing this. I mean, I did it as a bit out of interest and of love, and it's actually turned into this bigger thing. And the reason is that I think, you know, for you, for me, this is an interesting story, a very interesting story. And it's, in a way, it's a story about how much music can matter. I mean, these people who made these records, some of them went to prison. It was a dangerous, risky thing to do. We live in an age where music has got no risk at all, virtually no risk, in our culture anyway. So I think it's caught people's imagination. So it's been growing. So we've been touring with the exhibition tours. It's going to Moscow next year. It's coming to Berlin next year.
Where to?
We'll find out tonight, actually. So maybe we can let you know later. You know, we're working on documentaries. So we're trying to tell and record this story, particularly while some of these guys who did this are still alive, to get their testimony, you know, whilst they're still here, because they're very old.
Impressive. Well, thanks, Stephen, from the X-Ray Audio Project. Well, we see tonight and hopefully then next year in Berlin in some secret place. We don't know so far, but maybe we'll find out tonight. Thanks. Yeah.
And if you want to check out more, just go to www.xrayaudio.com.